Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. I want to read down through verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, starting with verse 14. Somebody said amen when you get there. All right. Praise God. Proverbs 4, 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, that would be the wicked, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Praise God. Powerful words there that we can look at. And just want to talk about the two different ways. We've been talking about this a little bit. I felt to go there again this morning. And just want to talk about these two different ways. One way is the way of the wicked, and the other is the way of the righteous or the just. And one way, you get instant gratification, instant feeling, instant this, instant that, but it does not last. And the other is long term. The other is long term. It doesn't look at the moment, but it looks at the long term. And if we're going to be saved, we've got to be able to look at the long term. We've got to be able to look at the whole picture, not just what's happening today, but what direction that we are going. And it's really not so much of importance this morning where you're at today, but it's the direction that you're headed that makes so much difference. Praise God. And I want to minister to somebody here this morning if I can. By the help of the Lord, would you pray and let's ask God to anoint His word this morning. Father, we lean on You today. We thank You for the word of God. Thank You for the truth this morning. Thank You for the anointing that we feel today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. God bless you. Praise God. The Bible talks about the path of the just here this morning. And this is the path that is blessed, it is the one upon which the righteous walk, the path of the just, and a path that God desires all men to walk on. All men will not walk on it, but it is the will of God that all men walk upon this path of the just. The word just there in the original means lawful. And there are those that are lawful and those that are lawbreakers. And both of them are upon a path today. Both of these individuals are headed in a direction. And I believe today that we all want to walk on the blessed life or the blessed path. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we've come to the house of God, so that we can get on that pathway that is blessed, and we're going to talk about that here in just a moment, but I want to talk about the path of the wicked. The Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked, verse 14, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. In other words, don't even get close to this way. There's a scripture that comes to me this morning, and it says that we should shun the appearance of evil. And this is the path of the wicked. We should not get close to it. We should not come close to it and be near to it. But we should do our very best to stay on the path of the righteous. Verse 19 of the same chapter, we read 14 through 18, but let's look at verse 19. It says, the way of the wicked, the path of the wicked, the way of the wicked, is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And so the way of the wicked is the road that starts out in a particular way. I've used this many, many times. The Lord gave this to me a number of years ago. And we all start out with a particular light in our lives. And maybe you remember when you were a kid, the hopefulness that you had for your future. I hope that that's the way it was when you were a child and you just believed, like the song that was sung this morning. I believed that I could be anything I wanted to be, and I'm going to be number one, and it's going to work out. We see it so often in the youth of our world. They throw caution to the wind. They're not worried about tomorrow. Their idea of life is what's going on this moment and what I can do to maximize the moment of life. And we all start out in the light, a particular amount of light, and the light in our life is either going to grow in intensity or the light in our life is going to begin to go out. Amen. And there are two paths that we can travel today, two paths, the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. And, you know, sin is never fulfilling. And I've said this before, it's always progressive. It always gets worse and worse. This thing called sin, it never leads in a way that gets better. The movie industry of our world and the morally bankrupt of our world, of Hollywood and the media and all of those that are promoting this new agenda of wickedness, of immorality, of ungodliness, and all of the things that they are promoting, they would like to present the idea in their movies that crime pays, that wickedness pays, that you can get by with living any way that you want to live, and it's going to be all right. And that is the promotion. That's what it promotes. And this is the idea that sin is fun, and excuse me, that sin has no consequences. The youth, as I've already said, they in our generation, I speak generally here this morning, that the youth have bought into this, and their whole life is wrapped up in the movie industry. You can just listen or look, and you can see the statistics of the billions of dollars that are spent in these particular industries because people are looking for an instant gratification and have the idea that it can't be right if it's not fun. Amen. We're living, and folks, we've really got to get a hold of this. We're living in an entertainment crazy generation, but we are not the only generation that has been this way. There are many other generations that have come and gone. The Greeks and the Romans, you can do some study into that if you would like, and you'll find that the Greeks and the Romans became obsessed with sports and entertainment, and it led them to immorality, it led them to perversion, it led them to places where the king or the Caesar of Rome was crazy and had chickens for pets in his house and regarded the lives of his chickens more than he did the life of his own children and his own household. Total, complete perversion and going in a direction where they say that while Rome burned, one of them just played his violin and didn't care. They got to places where if you were a senator in Rome, you had a battalion of soldiers under you, and they could not go to battle. They could not fight good because everything was politically motivated. Everything was perverted in their mind. They did not understand the right way because time after time, day after day, year after year, they took little steps downward. Amen. Their kingdom lasted for a period of time, and they were the superpower of their world at one point in time. But I'm telling you today, it's not where you're at that's so important, but it is the direction that you're headed that is so very, very important. Somebody said amen. Praise God. Hopefully we're headed in a good direction here this morning. Amen. And we have a generation that believes the images that they see and the concepts of life that are promoted. Amen. That's why I believe that we should not be a part of these things, and because they are, as the scripture says, the essence of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you look around you, they've always been in this world. They started with Adam and Eve, and they're still in this world today. And you look around and say, I don't think those things are wrong. Then I would like to ask you this morning, where do those things exist in our generation? Amen. If it's not in the movie industry, where is it? Amen. If it's not in the promotion of our media today, where is it? Where is the world? And what can we define as the world? But I believe that the world is right here before us, and our generation is going down. Amen. Our young people are going down. We see our young people that have multiple problems and situations in their life. Where does that come from? Amen. It comes from a direction. It comes from a path. It comes from a road that is being traveled, and with the idea that this is the right way. And if they don't have an idea that it's the right way, they have the idea that it's the only way that we know. Amen. And we're going in this direction because we don't know anything else to do, or we're going in this direction because we feel like it is the right thing to do. And I remember teaching a young man a Bible study. I believe he came and visited the church, and I got into a Bible study with him. And he told me, he said, "My life is miserable. I've gotten to a place where nothing is working out in my life. I'm depressed. I'm not happy," and so on and so forth. He left home and was homeless and for a season of time. Moved in with another guy, and the other guy wanted to do things with him and for a place to stay. He one incident after another, and his life began to digress downward, downward, downward. And so we began to look into the Word of God, into the Bible study, and as things begin to open up, and we saw that the Word of God is true, that the Word of God gives us direction. We finally came to a fork in the road. And folks, we're all going to come to that fork in the road someday. And we're going to have to make a decision in our life what we're going to do and what direction we're going to go. If we are going to give our whole life to God, or are we just going to continue on the path that we're going? And we got to a fork in the road in this Bible study, and praise God, he saw the Word of God. He saw the truth. And that's my job as a teacher, is to bring out the truth and to share the Word of God, and hopefully that revelation will open up. But that revelation opened up at a fork in the road, and the young man told me, he said, "You know, I need some changes in my life." Excuse me, I'm sorry. But he said, "I don't want that kind of change. I don't want to change that much." And so he took the pathway of the wicked and took the pathway of those that were the lawbreakers and began to go into more and more sin. And today he is not on his way to heaven, but on another pathway. And I pray that someday he will come back to God and come to an understanding that there is a right and there is a wrong. Somebody said amen. Praise God. And eventually, when sin comes into your life or things come into your life like this, and we travel down that road and we're not on the path of the just or the path of the shining light, it begins to get darker and darker. As I said earlier, we start out in life with light. We start out in life with hope. We start out in life with excitement, and things excite us and motivate us, and we move forward into the light that we have been given. But when we get on a path of wickedness, the light begins to dim. Amen. The path of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Praise God. And so what do we need? We need light in our lives. We need revelation in our lives. That's why we cannot afford not to have church. Amen. That's why we cannot afford not to have preaching. Amen. And to have personal study in the Word of God, because it will show us things as we travel down the road. Praise God. We've got to understand that there is a nature of truth. Praise God. Truth has a nature to it. And if we get rid of truth out of our life, or we stop seeking after truth, then we are going to be led by the only other thing that's available. Amen. There's truth, and then there is untruth. And if we are led by the truth, then it will be the shining light. Praise God. But if we are led by darkness, then we are being led by the opposite of truth, which is deceit. Amen. Or a lie, if you want to put it that way. Genesis chapter 4 is a prime example of what we're talking about here this morning. Praise God. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 13, or rather, let's go up a little bit. And Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, verse 3, an offering unto the Lord. He started out with some light, didn't he? He had some light, and that light was you need to bring an offering unto the Lord. But then truth came along. And truth came along and said you need to offer an acceptable sacrifice to God. It's not just a sacrifice, it's not just whatever I want to do, but it is doing it in the pathway of truth, amen, doing it the right way. And he brought an offering, and Abel brought an offering in verse 4, and in verse 4, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And so if you look at this in this regard, these two young men are standing side by side. Each of them have a light in their lives. They have a revelation in their life of truth, a revelation that they need to have truth and to follow truth into their lives. And then all of a sudden there is a fork in the road, and the fork in the road was way before one was accepted and one was rejected. Somewhere previous to that, there was the word that came to both of them, you must offer an acceptable sacrifice unto God. One brought of the fruit of the ground, which was not acceptable, and the other brought of the firstling of the flock, which was a blood sacrifice, which God instituted when he made coats of skins for Adam and Eve, their mom and dad. and they understood what was right, and they saw it, and it was talked about around the campfire at their home, whatever that was. And there was a fork in the road, and one of them said, I'm going to do it God's way. And the other one said, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to figure it out for myself. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go in the direction that I feel is the right way. Bypassing counsel, bypassing the Word of God, bypassing what their mother and their father had to say, and what God had to say. And then all of a sudden there was a accepted sacrifice and there was a rejected sacrifice. And the Bible says Cain became angry, his countenance fell. In other words, instead of, you know, you've seen folks with a bright countenance. Have you ever made reference to someone and say they have a bright countenance? Or you could say they have a down countenance. You can tell an awful lot by looking into somebody's eyes, what kind of countenance they have. And this countenance fell. He became angry. He became upset in his mind and in his heart. Became unbearable around those that are around him. And then it got to the point where it escalated and the light began to dim in Cain's life until it was no more light, but it was darkness. And out of the darkness, there was a voice that said, kill him. Amen. There was a voice that said, kill him. I remember one of the men that my pastor won to God, and I heard him preach one time that when he was in sin, he got so far away from God. His name was Charles Mahaney, and he eventually became a very famous preacher in the apostolic movement. And he said that there were demons standing around him in his bedroom, encouraging him to kill himself. And there were demons in the room. I've heard stories of those that have backslid and left God. One family member that I'm aware of personally, she said when she left the church and quit coming to the house of God, all of a sudden there were demons that came into her life. And she had reoccurring nightmares of demons dragging her into hell. I'm telling you today that we have two paths that we can travel in our lives. And one is the path of the just, and the other is the path of the wicked. And when demons begin to dominate your life, whether openly or in the background, are you listening here this morning? That's why we've got to be in the house of God. That's why we've got to come and worship. That's why we've got to come and pray through on a regular basis. That's why we've got to hear the preaching of the Word of God on a regular basis. It's really not just another sermon. It's the Word of God. And it is truth. And truth is light. Amen. And the more light we get, the better off we are, because the wicked stumble at things that they know not. Amen. What happened there? I don't understand what happened. Amen. Well, if we get into truth, truth will reveal what happened. And truth will reveal to us how to deal with what has happened in our life. Amen. Because truth is light and the other path is darkness. Amen. And so I look at the path of the wicked and I see that there is a progression of darkness. It starts out with light, but a little bit later, it's a little dimmer and a little bit dimmer until the darkness is here. And then the darkness gets so dark that you can't see where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. You have no clue for the direction that you're going in your life. Amen. It's because of darkness. Well, praise God. You're not going to find the answer on the internet. You're not going to find the answer at the movie house. You're not going to find the answer anywhere else. You're going to find it in the Word of God. Amen. In the truth that is found in the Word of God. And go down to verse 13. Go down to verse 13. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And so we have from verse 3 where he offered a sacrifice to God. He was in, can I just say it this way? He was in the church. He loved the church. He loved to be in the house of God. But something changed. There was a change in the direction, and he began to go in another direction. And little by little, I'm not that far away from the church. I'm not that far away from God. I haven't stopped going. I haven't stopped praying. I haven't stopped these things. I've just kind of backed off a little bit. And I'm telling you, it will happen between verse 3 and verse 13. 10 short verses. And a murder has already taken place. And now judgment has fallen. And he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Well, praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 26. Let's look at this here this morning. Matthew chapter 26. What a story this is of a young man that that in the will of God for his life, his name was to be written in the foundation of heaven itself. Now, can you imagine the honor that God would want to give to somebody like that? You look in the book of Revelation, and you'll see that the names of the 12 apostles were in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. What an honor, amen, that God would come to an old fisherman like the apostle Peter and say, I want your name to be in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. And to go to James and John, the sons of thunder, and say, James, I want you to be the pastor of a 50,000 member church, the very first church that I'm going to establish on this earth. And I'm going to use you men with healings. I'm going to use you. And so he called 12 of them, and he told them at one point, go out and preach the gospel and share the word of God. And he said, freely you've received, freely give. And he said, heal the sick, raise the dead. And so the disciples of the Lord went out, and they did. They cast out devils. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. And there were miracles. And in one particular place, they came back, and they were so excited. They were so excited. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. We are so excited. We're seeing this actually work in our lives. And among those 12 was this one named Judas. And you know the story of it, but I just want to use it today as an illustration. And he actually laid hands on people and they were healed. He actually either saw or he was involved in praying for somebody that was dead, and all of a sudden their eyes opened up and they were alive again. He was involved in services, if you please. He was involved in things that when they brought a devil possessed to him, all of a sudden the demons cried out, and maybe it was Judas that said, come out of him. And all of a sudden he came out. And my, what elation, what excitement. Praise God. I remember hearing of one young pastor that was raised in the church and took a church, and there was a healing that took place, and he was involved in that healing, and he was so excited because that was his very first healing that he was able to see. And you know, I could just see Judas in that respect as well. You know, it's one thing to see the Lord doing the work, but it's another thing to actually get involved and to pray for someone, lay your hands on someone, and all of a sudden they are instantly healed of that sickness and of that whatever it is that's in their life. I remember praying for Joseph Dean, a Baptist pastor, never preached divine healing. It was not in their doctrine, but he came down with a brain tumor, and we prayed. We prayed for maybe 5 minutes, and that was all. But the Holy Ghost came into that office, and God completely delivered him and healed him of that brain tumor. Amen. It's exciting when things like that take place. Things happen. But I'm telling you, it's not what's happening today that's so important. It's not what's going on right now that's so important. Amen. But it is the direction that you're headed. It is the path that you're on. If it is the path of the lawful or if it is the path of the lawless. Amen. And here we have this man who had such a high calling, higher calling than anybody else in the world, and it was all laid upon his shoulders. Folks, I'm telling you, we have a high calling here today. God has called us to be kings and priests with him. He has called us to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years on this earth. He has called us to spend eternity in heaven. We have so many, many good things that are before us here today. Come on, somebody. You know I'm telling you the truth here this morning. But it's not the calling that is so important, and it is not the things that are happening right now in your life that is so important, whether those things are good or whether those things are not so good. It really doesn't matter. It is what the road is. Amen. The road that you're traveling. And here we see a series of events, and the Lord looks at him and says, what you're going to do, do it quickly. Let's get this going. It's time that I go and die on the cross, and you're going to be a part of that, even though he did not tell him exactly. But he said, or the scripture says, that he left the light, walked out into the darkness of that night, and Satan himself entered into that man. Now, how can we get to the place where we lay hands on the sick and they are healed? And then in another chapter of our life, that it is said of him, he is possessed of the devil and has a suicidal spirit upon him. How can we get from one extreme to the other? I'll tell you how. There's going to be a fork in the road in your life somewhere. There's going to be a time where you're going to have to make a decision in your life, what path you're going to travel and what direction you're going to go. Thank God for repentance. Amen. Repentance can make another fork in the road and we can get on the right track again. It's not over. Praise God. Until we're done making our decisions, and when we make that final decision, God help us that it is the right decision. Amen. Thank God for repentance. But there was no repentance in this man. There was a decision. In Matthew 26 and 15, this is Judas speaking, and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. There was an event here, almost just exactly like Cain, where whatever it was that Cain used to kill his brother, there was a decision, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it right now. I'm making the decision, and it doesn't matter what happens. I'm just going to do this right now because of the feelings that I have and all of this that I have in my life right now. I'm telling you, what we've got to do this morning is we've got to stay on the path of the lawful. It's not lawful to kill your brother. It's not lawful, amen, to sell your Lord for 30 pieces of silver. It's just not lawful. And he sold him for 30 pieces of silver and thought everything was going great. I'm going to buy a new car. I'm going to buy a new house. I'm going to tell the wife that we've cashed in. Our ship has come in. I just won't say where the money came from, but now I've got 30 pieces of silver in my pocket, and only just a few verses down from there, Matthew 27 and verse 5, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Just a few verses. Isn't it amazing how sin can take us down so fast? Come on, somebody. It's amazing how fast we can go down if we're not close to the truth of God's Word. What does the Word of God do for us? Well, the Bible says it's a two-edged sword, piercing even asunder to the body and the soul and the spirit. It divides us up, if you please. The Word of God gets down inside of us. We took the girls to the Museum of History, World History, and we saw a big long sword. It was about that long, and it was two-edged, and it had that little ridge down the middle like you see, and it was a preserved sword tip that was from Rome. And we looked in there, and I said, look at that, folks. That's the Word of God right there. And they stopped for a minute. I don't know what they thought I was, that I was maybe had a lapse for a moment there. I said, that's the Word of God. It's a two-edged sword, sharper than a two-edged sword. And a two-edged sword, I said, you know how they knew if it was a good sword? They took a slave or a captive from the battle, and if in one hit they could slice the man in half, that was a good sword. And they understood that it had the power to divide. It had the power to pierce. It had the power to get down on the inside and do great damage to the individual when it got in there. But the Word of God is like a two-edged sword that is supposed to be able to get down inside of us. Folks, come on now. When we come to the house of God, we can't put up a wall. When we come to the house of God, we can't say, well, you know, you can preach out here in the open field, but don't get up close to my house. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, the Word of God has got to get down into our spirit. It's got to get down into our heart. It divides the soul and the spirit and the body. The Word of God will tell you what to do and what not to do with your body. The Word of God will tell you what to do and what not to do with your spirit. The Word of God will tell you what to do and what not to do with your soul. Well, praise God. It'll get in there and tell you what to do with your mind. That's why we need to serve God with our mind, our soul, our spirit, and our body. Praise God. That's the Word of God this morning. And so he went out and he hanged himself. He started out with great light, walking beside God Almighty robed in flesh, listening, seeing, involved, part of the work of God. But somewhere when offerings were taken up, I think this is where it started. Maybe it started down the road in the past, but I think it started when he was involved and included in the 12, and wherever they went, he went. And then somebody said, well, we need to fund you. I want to give you some money so you can buy food for your journey. And somebody had to take care of that. Somebody had to make an accounting of that money. And Judas said, I'll do it. I'm good with money. I'll do it. And so every time an offering was given, Judas had the bag, the Bible says, and they put the money in the bag. And it was his responsibility to make an accounting, but the Scripture says he was a thief. He was a thief. And he slipped a coin out every now and then. Probably at first, he might have just slipped out a little bit. And I think that's probably what happened. He just slipped a little bit out of that bag. It wasn't a big theft here, but he just slipped a little bit out and then maybe felt guilty about it. And a few days or a few weeks went by, nothing happened, and he forgot that pricking of his heart and that conscience that said, this isn't right and you shouldn't be doing this. And then that was gone. And so now instead of taking a dollar, he took $2 out. Right. Amen. I remember a young man in the church in Boston where we were at, and he had a history of theft. And when, God help us, I don't know why the pastor made him one of the ushers, but it wasn't very long until large sums of money were missing from the offerings. And they discovered that he was stealing from the offerings of the Lord. And did he stay in church? He did not stay in church. And he did not live for God because he came to a fork in the road. Judas came to a fork in the road. And folks, every one of us are going to come to a fork in the road. We're going to come to a fork in the road, whether it's, and it's going to be the Lord in our life or it's going to be me in my life, where it's going to be submission to the will of God and to the laws of God. Amen. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Praise God. And then it came to the place where he could actually sell his master. Instead of the master selling the slave sold the master. At least he thought that's what he was doing. And then he threw the money down. And when he threw the money down, they laughed in his face and they said, what is that to us? That means nothing to us. We have what we want. And when he saw that it was not like he thought it was going to be, he went out and he killed himself. And you look in the Old Testament, I believe it's in the book of Psalms, and it talks about his place in eternity will be desolate. And that his children and all of the people that came out from him were going to be cursed because of what he had done. It was the familiar spirit of sin that would pass from generation to generation. You know what that tells me? It tells me that not only was Judas a thief, but it tells me that he passed it along to his children, and his children were known as thieves. And their children were known as thieves. And it went from generation to generation to generation, all because somebody at the fork of the road in their life, they chose to go the easy way, the seeming easy way. Amen. I don't know how many days a person would have to work for 30 pieces of silver, but whatever it was, Judas probably thought, man, I can get this in a moment. I can get this in a heartbeat. I don't have to work X amount of days to get this. This is the easy path. Amen. There are many people today that lose everything they have at the gambling casinos. In a moment's notice, it's all gone. There are millions and hundreds, probably at least 100 million people that get involved in the lottery and they give their money away thinking they're going to get something really fast. Amen. They're going to get that whatever it is. I heard the other day it's almost 500 million, $500 million. Oh, well, I'm going to go out and win that. Well, your odds are 1 in 200 and something million that you're going to win that. You know what? It's just a whole lot better to go the lawful way. Well, praise God. Just go the way of the lawful and go work and make a dollar. Praise God. And that's the right way. You'll feel better about yourself anyhow. And most of the folks that win those lotteries end up in worse condition and end up in debt and end up in all kinds of difficulties and hurts. Amen. One man at that particular point in time, and I was at a seminar and they told this story, that he was the winner of like $100 million or $130 million. And at that time, it was the largest lottery win. He was associated with a Pentecostal group of people, not apostolic, but he decided he was going to bless the churches with his tithes. And so he spread his tithes out among several churches. And they said that the story developed, and it ended up that this man was going to pornography houses. He was going to strip joints. He was going to the bars. And he made the comment, he said, my life has been destroyed by this. I have so much money. I don't have anything that I have to do with my time. Everything, eat, drink, and be merry. And he said, it has literally destroyed my life. I'm telling you what, folks, there's the right way and there's a wrong way. Well, praise God. But then there is the path of the just. Thank God. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. And I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. Here Judas had it all laid out before him. And here Moses had it all laid out before him. Exodus 4 and verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. Moses couldn't see what was ahead, but Moses could see the fork in the road. He had already said, I'm not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had run from Egypt, and now he's on the backside of the desert, working some sheep and not really having a plan for his life. And all of a sudden, God appears in his life. Thank God when God appears in your life. Moses started out with a bright light, and that was his mom and dad. That was the faith of his mother and father. And they said, we're not going to let the Pharaoh kill our son. We're going to make a boat, push him out into the river, and turn him over to God. Turn him over to the hand of God. And that step of faith caused him to become the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Everything was bright. Everything was good. But then there was a fork in the road. And the fork in the road came, I don't know where it was, but there was a time. Hebrews 11 tells us that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused. I'm not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm a Hebrew. I'm related to a slave. Well, praise the Lord. Do I have to scream and shout this morning? All right. God bless you, because I don't think I can. Moses, when God spoke to him here at the burning bush, and he said, but God, I can't do it because of this, this, and this. The Lord said, listen, Moses, what's in your hand? He said, it's a rod. Throw it down, Moses. He throws it down. It turns into a snake. Pick it up. Turns into a rod. And he said, but God, I can't because of this or that or the other. And finally, he came to that fork in the road where he said, okay, God, I'll do your will. I'll do your will. Unqualified in his mind, did not feel very highly about himself, you know, thought he was a nobody, and thought that, you know, my life is over, nothing's going to come out of my life. But Moses couldn't see ahead the great things that God would do in his life. Exodus 14 and verse 16, just 10 chapters away, he said, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Is there any other story in the history of humankind that is as rehearsed as this one? Everybody knows the story of the parting of the sea. Everybody knows the story of Israel coming out of Egypt and passing through the sea. There were even columns that were set up on both sides of the Red Sea to commemorate. There are still Hebrew writings on the walls on the Egyptian side as they wrote how the Lord had delivered them and the parting of the sea and all of that. How in the world did Moses know at that burning bush that the day would come not too far away that he would be holding that rod out over the sea and he would be involved in a story that would go until the very end of humanity? He didn't know that, Fred, but he was at a crossroad in his life. And folks, every one of us are going to be presented with the opportunities of a crossroad, and we're going to be presented with the opportunity to do the will of God or to go in our own direction. Praise God. The path of the just starts out with an understanding of the nature of truth. Well, praise God. The path of the just. If you choose at that fork in the road that you're going to go on the path of the just, you've got to understand the nature of truth. And the nature of truth is that it doesn't all come to you at one time. Truth does not come to you all at once, but truth is imparted little by little. That's why the scripture says little and by little, here a little and there a little. Amen. Another scripture that we could look at here this morning, Exodus 23 and 29. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee by little and little. Everybody said, by little and little. Well, praise God. I know you're awake this morning. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Well, just look at it this way. When they got to the land of promise, those inhabitants of the land represented falsehood. They represented the worship of false gods. They represented immorality. They represented lawlessness. They represented everything that was not of God. And so over here on this plot of land, there was a group that believed this. And over here, there was another group that believed this. And over here and over here. And the whole land was filled with them. And they were standing in the middle of that land that was promised to them by God. And all around them was those things that were not of God. And God said, you're not going to go in and take over the whole land at once. Praise God. Don't worry if you're not making the progress that you think everybody else wants you to have. Amen. But if you're going in the right direction, that's the point this morning. It's not where you're at that's so important. It's the direction that you're headed that is so important. Amen. Don't make that decision that takes you in another direction in your life. Praise God. And we've all fallen and we've all made mistakes. But I'm telling you, that's the power of repentance today. It puts us back on the right track and gets us going in the right direction that God wants us to go. And so he said, little and by little. That's the nature of truth this morning. Don't expect it to happen overnight. But thank God when you get to the end of your journey, you're going to be at the right place. That's what's important this morning. It's not where I'm at. And it's not the things that are going on, good or bad in my life. But it's the direction that I'm going that's so very, very important. Amen. And the same with you as well. Praise God. Praise God. We've got to understand the nature of truth. Truth does not come all at once. Amen. I remember one man that came and prayed through, and he said, God's called me to be a prophet. This was just a day after he received the Holy Ghost, and he thought he was John the Baptist or something. I don't know, but God had called him to be a prophet, and he was going to start a prophet school, and he was going to be the teacher at the prophet school. Well, he's not with us anymore. I don't even know where he's at. But I'm telling you, God's not going to dump it all on you in one moment. Praise God. There is faithfulness that is required. There is consistency that is required. Truth is not something that comes to the lazy. Truth is not something that comes to the inconsistent. Well, praise God. Truth does not come to those that approach it casually. But the Bible says that it is worth more than silver and gold. It brings honor. It brings all sorts of things to your life. Praise God. But you've got to understand the nature of truth when you go on that path of the just. And so then becomes fulfilled in your life, that the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more. And so when we start out, we don't have it all, do we? Well, I'm sorry, y'all had it all when you first came to God. But I didn't have it all, and nobody was dumber than me. Amen. I felt like I was as dumb as a sack of hammers. Praise God. That's pretty dumb. Amen. Everybody else was smarter than me, and I was so excited when I read a parable, and the Holy Ghost showed me the interpretation of that parable. And I went to one of the brethren in the church, and I said, "Is this what this means?" He said, "Yes, it is." And I was just so thrilled in my heart that God showed me that one little truth in my life. I was so thrilled when I saw that scripture, "Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down." And then I tried it and it worked. So very excited about the simple things of living for God. Amen. But somewhere down the road, forks have come along. And I've had opportunities to go in this direction or that direction. Amen. I've had people get mad at me. And then I had to choose what I'm going to do with that. A fork came in the road. Amen. Now I'm either going to go in the way of darkness, and I'm going to start a regression, or I'm going to go in the right way, and I'm just going to let God work it all out. And it gets brighter and brighter and brighter as the days go by. It doesn't get darker and darker. If it's getting darker and darker, there's something wrong. And it's not something that's wrong with truth, because truth is truth. You cannot compromise. You cannot change the truth. Praise God. The truth will continue to shine. And as we live for God, it gets better and better. Psalm chapter 1. I'm running out of time. I've got to finish here this morning. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh. Praise God. Now we're at the fork in the road here. Blessed is the man that walks. You got to start walking. You got to get on the road, and you've got to start going in that particular direction of life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So we can't be scornful. We can't walk in the way of sinners. And we cannot listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Praise God. Well, what kind of counsel are we going to listen to? Truth. What does the Word of God say about it? What does the Scripture say about being in the house of God? It talks about that. What does the Word of God say about your money? It talks about that. What does the Word of God say about relationships? It talks about that. It's in the Word of God. And so we can't go to the counsel of the ungodly, amen, or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. I'm going to get into the Word of God because I want to make it all the way to the end. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. Here's the foundation of truth this morning. Amen. His delight is in the law of the Lord. You don't get all of the law. There was some 300 and some odd laws in the Old Testament. Friend, you're not going to memorize all of those laws. Did you know that in the Old Testament there was a law that said that if you sin and you don't know you've sinned, here's what you're supposed to do? You know what that means? That means there was a lot of folks that didn't know all the law, and they did something in ignorance, and they didn't know that it was wrong. And so there was a law to cover that. It was pretty tough in the Old Testament. Amen. But you know what? The moral laws of God still apply today. Thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, so on and so forth. They still apply to us today. You know what? There's folks that live like that, and they don't even know the Ten Commandments. They've never read the Bible. They don't know anything about it. In this world, there are people like that. But I'm telling you today, amen, what we got to do is understand the nature of truth, and that is when we meditate on the law of God, that means that we start out and then we add to it. And when we add to it, amen, we don't go down. The law of God is not grievous. It is not something that brings us into bondage, but it is something that liberates us as the Word of God gets down into us and it begins to divide the things. And when you divide things out, then you bring it down to its individual parts. Was when you were younger, did you have this desire to take things apart? You did. A lot of us guys are like that. Get a screwdriver and a wrench. We're going to take it apart and see what this thing's like. And when you take something apart, if it's as complicated as a human being, you're going to have parts all over the table. And it's pretty much just divided up. And that's how you figure out if something's not working. You got to divide it up into its individual parts. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Are y'all with me here this morning? You got to divide it up into its individual parts, and eventually you're going to see a gear in there that's stripped out. Right. Oh, there's your problem. We divided this thing up. We got it down to its individual parts. We figured out what the problem is. And now we're going to get a replacement part. We're going to put it back in there, put this thing back together, and it's going to run like new. Praise God. Oh, don't you put a screwdriver to me, God. Don't start taking those screws out of me. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't you start undoing bolts and taking the case of my life apart and start looking down that close to me. But I'm telling you today, if you're struggling with some things, there's a part inside that's not right. And that's not a criticism. It's just a matter of fact. That's why they've got MRIs now, magnetic resonance imaging, and it'll slice you up into a million parts. And they can look in there and they can find if there's one little bitty tumor right there. They'll say, that's your problem. We got to deal with this problem right here. Well, it looks normal on the outside, but there's something, there's a part of this that's not right. Amen. Praise God. You having difficulties this morning? Something's not right. That's right. Oh, well, it'd be like taking two watches. And this watch over here isn't running right. And when the person comes to fix it, this watch says, you know what? It's not me that's got the problem. It's that other watch beside me that's got the problem. How silly would that be? Well, it's not my car that's got the transmission problem. It's the other one sitting beside it. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Amen. I can live for God. I can live for God. Save yourself from this untoward. I can be saved. And the saints of history were saved, and they went through great tribulation, the Bible says. Lots of trouble, lots of problems. Some of them wandered in caves and dens of the earth. Some of them were naked, destitute. That means they didn't have a single thing in this world. And sometimes we sit around with all the things that we have, and all we do is complain. God help us. I know you're ready for me to be finished. Amen. But I'm telling you today, the truth of the Word of God will get into us and divide us up, and it will show us what the problem really is. And I've counseled with folks, and you can tell sometimes when you're talking to people, and you say, well, this is your problem. They get this glassed-over look in their eyes. And then they go back and they say, well, this is my problem. And then you talk to them about it. Well, this is my problem. And you talk to them about it. And they don't really want to hear the answer. It's not that gear in me that's stripped out. It's not that whatever it is that you're saying is the problem. I'll be okay. I don't need to tell the time anyhow. Praise God. The sun comes up, sun goes down. I'll know when it's dark, it's night, and when it's bright, it's day. Praise God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm finishing here. Why don't we stand together right now? He shall be like a tree planted. Everybody said planted. Planted. You don't take a big gigantic sequoia and plant it. That takes hundreds of years to build. You take a seed and you plant it. Or you take a sapling, just a little bitty tree, and you plant it. Do you know what? It doesn't matter. Fred, you were raised in the church. It doesn't matter. There was a day that you got planted and you got started. And it's amazing to me, the kids that grow up in the church that don't know some of the things that the church teaches. It's because they haven't been planted yet. They haven't really made a start yet. They're just going on the flow of mom and dad or the flow of the church. And it's normal. It's hard for them to understand everything. They don't know anything about the world and all of that. But somewhere you've got to get planted. And then when you get planted, you start growing your roots. The roots go out. The roots go down. And you have a really good wet season. And man, you just grow. Some of these kids, they grow up like they're sprouting like a weed. And before you know it, they're wearing a size 10 shoe. We talked about it when the girls were here, and little Sophia, 10 years old, and she acts like a kid, and she is a kid because she's 10 years old. But she's way taller. Little Isaac said, man, she's a lot bigger than me. And when you get into grade school, that's the way it is. But then all of a sudden, them boys, something triggers. There's a switch that switches, and they start growing. And man, that's a great time of life. You're growing. You're turning into an adult. Your voice is changing. And then all of a sudden, you get old enough. You get married. You have kids. And it's a growing. Life is a growing thing. You lay aside childish things and you become an adult, amen, and you take on responsibility and all that. But thank God. I was thinking about it this morning when I looked over. They were singing one of the songs this morning, and it had such great meaning. Everybody was on their feet, and I looked over, and there was little Brennan standing over there. He was just in his own little world. Here we were thinking about deep things, and he just was in his own. He's probably over there laughing and giggling. He don't think about anything but maybe going to grandma's house after church or, you know, whatever it is that he wants to play with. That's because he's just a kid. And I know that you all know this. I'm not talking down to you this morning. But somewhere in your life, you're going to hit a crossroad of truth. Whether it's doctrinal truth or whether it's relationship truth, whatever it is, you're going to come into many forks in the road and you'll have an opportunity. You'll have an opportunity. I got lost one time in the woods in Wisconsin. I was bow hunting and I got lost. Didn't know where I was and it was getting dark. And they said, if you can find one of the logging trails, and I forget exactly how it is, but they make the logging trails a certain way, and there are forks in the road. And they said, if you will, is either to the right or to the left. I think it was to the right. They said, if you will always go when you walk on the road, if you will go to the right, you will always get out of the woods because of the way they make the trail. So when you come to a fork in the road, you got to go the right way. You can't say, well, I feel like the other way's a better way. You're going to end up deeper in the woods because it takes you off over somewhere else. But they made it that way on purpose so that you don't get lost. When the trees are so tall and so big, you can't even see the sky. You don't know where the sun is. You've lost all your direction. Amen. It's when you come to the fork in the road of truth. And that's how little by little I just passed another fork. I've just passed another fork. Here's another one. Here's another one. And all of a sudden, it opens up and you're in the right place. Praise God. That's how it is in living for the Lord. Don't expect overnight changes. Don't expect things to happen today. Amen. But just get on the right path. Can we pray together? Come on, somebody. Lift your voice with me this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's lift our voices this morning. Help us, Jesus. Help us to be seekers of truth, lovers of truth, truth that applies to me personally, to my spirit, to my body, to my soul, to my mind. Divide me up, God, with your truth. Let every part of me be laid out on the table so you can fix it. So you can fix it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name this morning.